One of the truly great things about our church is we have all generations. We do have a nursery that is full and overflowing, and we have those that are older, and that's a beautiful and glorious thing. But there are times on both sides of the spectrum when we will use phrases and words that one generation doesn't use. So there are times when if we use a technology reference of something, that there are some of our 80 and 90 and 100-year-olds, they just don't know what we're talking about. And then there are other times when we say something and the younger generation has no clue what we're saying. This morning, I'm going to use a phrase that some of our younger ones do not know. Before you could listen to music on your devices, whether it would be your phone or your CD or your MP3 player, before there was CDs, before there was 8-tracks or cassettes or reel-to-reels, there was records. This, for you younger people, this is a record. It is made, I believe, out of vinyl, and they would put it in what they call a record player. This is a record player. Now, what would happen sometimes, and those of us that are older, there are times that you would get a scratch on the record, and it would be devastating because it would be a broken record. So it would sound like this.
Silver bells, silver bells, silver bells.
Ah! It would drive you crazy.
Silver bells.
How about do this to you for about 5 minutes? You're going nuts. That is a broken record. So when your parents say to you, you sound like a broken record, you're saying the same thing over and over again. So this is where it comes from. And the amazing thing is that broken record, by the way, at least back in the day, when the record broke, you were done. Throw it on the ground. You might as well get rid of it. Because in my world, there was no fixes. Now, someone might say, well, I had a fix. Well, you know what? Everyone else didn't, and I'm happy for you. In an amazing way, our lives are like a broken record. There are certain aspects of every one of our lives, it's the same thing over and over again, over and over again, over and over again, over and over again, over and over again. And we, as God's people, when we come to understand the gospel, He changes our lives, and He wants us. When we understand that it's by faith alone and Christ alone that we have eternal life, and we turn and repent and we give our lives to Him, He wants to change us. And some of the things that He wants to do is remove that same thing that goes on in your head, the broken record. And it may be an activity, it may be a thought. And so we're going to talk about that today. So let me invite you to open up your Bibles, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 4. And I mean this with all sincerity. I always say this every week. This is a life-changing message. Even if you're here today and you're like not sure if you're all in with the Jesus thing, I'm here to say please have ears that hear, because this is our lives. This is what goes on in everybody's life. And the only answer, the only hope there is found in the person of Jesus and in His Word. So in this passage in Ephesians, it is such a rich passage. It is talking about the Christian taking off the old and putting on the new. If you would, getting rid of the old record of negativity and putting on the new record. It is that stark of a difference that the Lord is shooting for in our lives. And so what I'm going to do is we've been taking this passage real in a slow fashion, but I'm going to back up and read it in its context. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 20, and then we're going to go down to the end of the chapter. Verse 20 says, "Now that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupted through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then the verses for today. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another and tenderhearted. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, the rest of that verse goes on to say, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're not even going to deal with that today. We're going to spend a couple of weeks talking about forgiveness, because that is another one of those issues that we need to spend some time at. But today we're going to look at this whole thing about being kind to one another and tenderhearted. Part of what we are called to do is that change of record, to put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and is corrupted through its deceitful desires. I will say this, that record of negativity, we all need to see, we have it. We do it. We live it. There's some of the things that are in our lives that, whether we look at the glass as half empty, whether we can get critical about things, whether we look at things the wrong way, whether we act the wrong way, that record is in every one of us, every one of us. And the Lord does want to remove that. He calls us that we're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And we do know that it all comes back. Everything we talk about comes back to the glorious gospel. We just, a few weeks ago, celebrated Easter. Here's what it says back when we started the book of Ephesians. In 1:13, it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So we who have come to the place where we acknowledge our sin, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. God comes to live within us, and he makes us new creatures, new creations in Christ. But that does not mean that it doesn't mean we don't sin. Yes, the dominion of sin, we can now change the record. Before, we couldn't change the record. But now we can. But let's not kid ourselves. That evil, that negativity, that sin is in every one of us. It is. And I'm not being mean. That's just reality. That is where we are. And so with the Holy Spirit's help, you have to put away sin. And so here's what it says. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then it says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Now, that record, this record of negativity, needs to be put away. We got to get rid of this. We really do. And here's I'm going to press on you on this one. God's done his part. He died for you. He loves you. And he has come to indwell you. This is our life. If I say to this, and I use this all the time, but if I say, glove, you know, go change that record, the glove can do nothing. But the God, the Holy Spirit, comes. I'm going to be like Michael Jackson, have one glove on the rest of the sermon. I'm sorry. So he's in us. Now, we have to submit to him. So all of those things that you think all those things that make you cranky and negative and addicted, and you fill in the blank of your, again, I'm not bashing on anybody. We all have junk in our lives. We need to surrender to him. Apart from ourselves, we can do nothing. I'm going to take it off. But we have the power. This is the part where you got to do it. And he's there to help. You don't need any more of the Holy Spirit. You don't need any more power. You have all the power there. And people say, oh, I can't help it. It's not like God's ripped you off. It's not like he has said to you, well, my problem's too big. That's not the case. It's not like, well, you don't know my past. He does know your past. And some of you have been through horrible things. I am not diminishing that at all. All of the things that have happened and will happen, God is able to help you through and over those things. With his help, he's inside you and he helps you every moment of every day. But we have to let him do it. So when he says, let all bitterness, and I'm going to go through these words real quickly. Bitterness is the idea of smoldering resentment. It's a grudge-filled attitude. It is a spirit of irritation, of negativity, making a person sour and toxic. And that bitterness can be in all of us. And he's going to say, put it away. Change that record. He goes on to talk about wrath. Wrath has to do with wild rage, the passion of the moment. Anger, which is a internal smoldering. In one sense, these are all like in the same bucket. Clamor, or brawling, as it says in the NIV, which is shouts of outbursts and strife. And then slander, which is the same word that we get blasphemy from. It is the ongoing defamation of someone that rises from a bitter heart. And so all those things. Then he adds malice, which is a general term for all kinds of vices. These are things we're to put away. And this is a command. This is not a suggestion. He is saying to us, put it away. And if you're honest, some of you know that's a broken record that's been going on in your life for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Same old thing. Same old thing. Same old thing. Same old thing. And he's saying, put it away. And brothers and sisters, when as believers, and I get some of you here today, you might not even know what I mean by believers, but by those who have come to Jesus and said, yes, you are my Lord, you are my Savior, when we just sit there and we make excuses, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us. And so it is a warfare that I'm calling us to that we have to wage. Every day we have to submit, it says in James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You just can't sit there and say, well, it's just the way I am. It is the way you are. And God's sitting there saying, by the way, you're my child. I want you to change. And you can change. And he does want us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds and to put on the new self after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So how do we do this? Here, that's the big thing. How do we do this? Well, with the Holy Spirit's help, again, apart from him, we can do nothing. With the Holy Spirit's help, we replace the bad with good. You have to identify that what you have is sin going on and negativity. You do have to call it what it is. There is a record that's going on. I've been around for 15 years. I know people, and people just say, well, that's just how I am. Sorry, we don't get a pass on that. This is something that we have to begin to change that record. And so he says in verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. It starts with that. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. I want us all to say that out loud. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. I know some of you are struggling with this. Say it out loud. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. This concept, this record that he's calling us to, is life-changing. It really is. Can you imagine what happens in homes if we are kind to one another and tenderhearted? Can you imagine what happens at workplaces? Can you imagine what happens in families? Can you imagine What happens when we obey God's word and we start to look at others through his eyes and we are kind to one another and tenderhearted? See, and this is a picture I use all the time. The struggle is we put ourselves at the center. And so when things don't turn out the way we want, well, then we are going to be irritated and we're going to let everybody know. Or we're going to be grumpy, or we're going to do our own thing because the world's not revolving around me. That's life. And that is that picture right there is in our natural tendency, every one of us. That's why that broken record goes around and around and around, and you do what you do all the time, and I do what I do. I'm not giving myself a pass. I preach to myself in these things first. It's like, yep, that's my problem. Because when it comes around and I identify what's the core issue is I want what I want when I want it. And so in Christ, he tells us we're to put him at the center. And when that hand does come inside the glove, he will produce the fruit of the Spirit. You will have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and he will do it through you as you surrender to him. But we have to do this moment by moment, day by day. We have to do this as we get into his word. We have to do this intentionally. We have to do this through his word. I mean, Pastor Jason and I say the same thing every week. We just say it differently. And so, oh, great, I don't have to come back next week. Oh, yes, you do, because we need the reminder. But that's what it comes down to. There is a part where we need to see Christ in his glory, and we need to put it at the center of our lives. And all that negativity that you have going around that bounces in your life, and the sin that so easily besets us, that is there and has been there for decades. And some of you, you were trained. That's why baby dedication is so important. That's why we spend the time with the parents, because all of us have the negativity record that we need to be working on so we can help our children. All of us do. And I love families that are kind of new to it. It's one thing if you're raised in the church, you kind of know it, but I love the ones that come in and they need to take it on and make it real, and they're doing it, and it's a struggle. But it's great because we get to make a huge difference in the life of our children when we take off the old and put on the new, and we model that for them, where Christ is the center of our lives, where we start to think about, I do need to put away all these negative things, not bitterness things. So can I be honest? Some of you are bitter about things, and it goes back to your childhood, and you don't even know it in some cases. And that's where we have to, like, okay, we've got to let it go. We have to let it go, and we have to be kind to one another. Now, people say, but how can I be kind to people? They don't deserve it. I can't be kind to my spouse. I can't be kind at work. I can't be kind to my siblings. I can't be kind to my neighbor. I can't be kind to these people. Do you know what they've done to me? Do you know who they are? Can I just take us back to the gospel? How has Jesus treated you? Here's what the scripture says in Titus 3:4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness. Do you see that? So the very goodness and kindness we have been shown, you have the privilege of doing for others what Christ has done for you. Did you deserve it? Did you deserve his loving, his goodness and loving kindness? And here's where some of you, I think, are probably, this is going to sound mean, not delusional, because that sounds bad, like you're crazy. You're not delusional, but you don't get it. You think, I'm pretty good. Compared to the people at this church, I'm a good person. I've been raised good. I went to church ever since I was little. I'm good. And the Bible's real clear. There's no one good. It's not by any righteousness we have. We're all broken. We are all lost. We are dead in our transgressions and sins. And, but when the goodness and kindness, loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by washing and regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out richly, poured on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So with that love, you have received. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, you've been the recipient of it. We have no other option than to change the record and get out of the way and let him work through us. He does it, but we have to do our part. It's again, it's two wings of that plane. God's already done his part, but in this one, you are called through the Spirit to help and to do these things. And it's amazing, he'll help you do it. And when that happens, we're not paying God back. We can never pay God back, but we are in a real way imitating his love and doing what our master has told us to do. And so from our heart, our answer should be, yes, Lord, I want to do this. I want to be kind and tenderhearted. I do want to do that. Why? Because you've been that for me. The reality of what I'm talking about today, some of you will walk out and you won't do it. You will, this will be like, boing, it'll be bulletproof off your head. And the reason is because you don't understand fully what Christ has done for you. You may know the words, but do you understand how great, how good, how loving, kind the Lord has been to us? Why would we not go and do what he's told us to do? So let's talk about practical steps. Because some of you might say, okay, I get it, but I am not good at this stuff. I have 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of a negative broken record going on. And there's some of you that say, hey, can I just give money at the church? Let me just give money and then I don't have to worry about this one. You're missing the point. See, the Lord wants your heart. He wants your heart on this. And so this record, this new record that we're putting on, we're getting rid of the old. This new record is life transformational. And there are times in our lives where we come to fresh understanding and we say, okay, Lord, I want to be renewed. I don't care about the past. Yes, the past happened. But the past is in the past. You don't drive your car looking only in the rearview mirror. You will crash. Every now and then you glance to the back to see what's going on, but you look out the windshield. And in a real way, we need to be changed and renewed in our minds. And so we're just going to look at what Scripture says, because all of it comes down to keeping our eyes on Jesus, keeping him the center. In Philippians 2:3, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let each of you look not only to your own interests. By the way, we always look to our own interests. We all do. And you would say, well, no, even if you serve people all the time, there are times where you check the attitude, because are you doing it for the approval? I don't know, but we naturally think of our own interests. But he's saying, I want you to intentionally think of other people. Think of other people. Be a blessing to other people. This really is countercultural. If we would do this as the people of Crosspoint and we would go into the world, it would change the world we live in. It would change families. Our marriages would get better. Our lives would get better. The world would look at us and not roll their eyes at Christians, because we would be doing what God's word says. Jesus said, as you wish that others would do to you, so do to others. And so, again, how do we do this? We were in a leadership meeting a couple weeks ago, and the story of, there's a gentleman named Al Coonley was at Ed's previous church, and he was an interim pastor there, and the church had gone through a difficult time, and he was trying to think of a way to practically change the heart of the people. And so they came up with this idea of developing what they call encouragement cards. And you have them in front of you right now. There's a little card. And the goal of this card, and I'm going to explain how it's going to work in a minute, but the goal of this card is that you would intentionally, every one of you would intentionally think away from yourself and think of someone you can encourage. This is going to help us. This is a practical step of getting rid of the negative and putting on the new and the God-honoring. We are called to be different. We are called to be light. We are called, as we've seen, let no corrupt talk come out of our mouths, but only such is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. In a couple other, few other passages, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. When our eyes on ourselves, we think only of, I think of me. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. And so what we want to do is on a weekly basis, take these cards and send them to somebody. And I'm going to explain that in a second, how we're going to do that. And this is not going away, by the way. This whole concept is not going away. I will make one rule. You cannot send it to myself or Pastor Jason for the first 5 weeks. Not that we don't need encouragement, but I want you to think deep about who needs encouragement and who can you be an encouragement to. And sometimes you're just taking scripture. You see someone who is plugging away, and even writing a scripture in there like Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap if you don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So, let me put that picture of the card back up here real quick, and I'm going to have the musicians come up. So, grab one of those cards in front of you. They're right in your pew in front of you. Everybody has one. Everyone do this, because we're not leaving until you all fill one out. I'm just telling you right now. Here's what we're doing. You are going to, you grab the card, and we're going to give you time right now to do this. We want you to say, dear so-and-so, and then write a word of encouragement. This is going to be, some of you have never done this. This is like, how do I do this? Well, look around. Maybe it's someone who's serving your kids right now. Maybe it's the ushers that are going to be picking up these cards. And here's what we do. You put, dear so-and-so, write something down. We encourage you to put your name down and put the person who you're sending it to. You put it in the plate, and we will send it to that person. We will look up their address, and we will send it to them. And if you say, well, it's no one in the church, we'll try to find that person. We have ways. But I'm encouraging you to do it within the church. And if you're a first-time person here, do it to a family member that maybe brought you. I don't know. But we want you to intentionally do this. And from here on out, we're going to be talking about this all the time. There's going to be a little, you'll see it when you leave right underneath the television. There's a holder where you'll be able to pick those up and fill them out and put them in there every week, because people need encouragement more than you know. How many of you, your life is going on and it is that broken record, and you sit there and you say, my life is no good. My life has no purpose. I'm doing no good. everything's bad, and you have held on to that record on and on and on and on and on. And I'm not saying, I tell you right now, there are some of our people right now that are going through the most difficult time of their lives. But even in that, when you're able to turn away from your problems and to be an encouragement to someone else is a blessing. And it will bless you. And we are going to be endeavoring by God's grace to change this. So fill it out, and then in a couple minutes, we're going to sing, and then we're going to pick those cards up.
Thank you.
So here's what we're going to do. If we could have the ushers come forward, and we're going to put these in. And I do pray that every one of you will do this. This record, this negativity record. This is annoying. And if we're honest, we want it to end. And the best way to do is God's words, take the old and put on the new. And so we really want to turn it off and change the record. And so we're going to pray, and then folks are going to come down, and we're going to put these in there, and then we're going to sing again. Lord, I pray for the people who are struggling with the whole concept of encouraging someone, that you would move in their hearts. That would change, Lord. I pray that they would understand the grace and the mercy that they have been the recipients of, and that they would in a real way imitate what you have done for us. I pray that those that receive these cards would be blessed and encouraged and lifted up and built up for your glory and your honor. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing that last verse.
Holy,
from creation's birth.
Stand, please. Lord, your word says, be kind to one another and tenderhearted. We give you glory, Lord, that you have been kind and tenderhearted towards us in the gospel. And may we live out the fruit by your Spirit, do what you have called us to do, to build up others, that you would receive honor and glory and praise. And all God's people said, amen.